it's us once again. Yeah, it's here. Wednesday. Sorry, I'm like really, really sleepy. Pookie woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, she woke us both up.
She decided for whatever reason, she's like, hey, I'm gonna jump up on you and sit on your chest and like, hi, I love you. I love you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love you too, honey.
Yeah. And then I woke up and I was like, what the fuck is going on? We went to sleep kind of early, so I had a problem going back to bed. Woke up at 2, and then I didn't get back to bed about 4.
Yeah, I didn't fall asleep again until about 4:30, and then I had dreams that, this is bad, and this is the first time that this has happened, but I did fall asleep, but then I started having dreams that I was telling somebody how tired I was and how I really wanted to sleep when I was actually sleeping.
Yeah.
And then I woke up at 6:30, and I got up and went for a walk, so yeah, I'm exhausted.
Okay. Michael Badger's there. What's up, bro?
Fourth Row Down says, there was 5 watching, and then it went down to 4. Come back, you son of a bitch.
Now it's back to 7. Well, some people don't have time. You know what I mean? They come in and check it out. They're like, I don't have time.
They're like, oh, they're talking about cats again. I'm out of here. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're just going to talk about Pookie, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's okay.
Like how she woke us up at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what I mean. It's like, you know.
All right. Saw a movie last night.
I mostly saw it. You didn't watch it.
I couldn't get into it.
Tom checked out of it. This is a 2020 film, and it's called The Droving. It is a British sort of folk horror, although I would say that it's more a mystery. And it's actually listed as a mystery thriller, not as a horror movie. So know that going in. Basically, this is from this Rubicon Films, and I guess they made one called Hex that was similar, like in a similar location. I'm not entirely sure where they shot this. I kind of feel like it was maybe the north of England somewhere, but holy crap, this is some landscape porn. If you want to see that shit, this is some gorgeous, gorgeous, like British countryside and like mountains and stuff like that. Nice cinematography, I should say. So the story of this is that there's this guy named Martin. And he's like an army guy. I'm not sure if he, you know, is out of the army like entirely now or if, you know, he's just on leave or whatever. Now, a year prior to the events of the film, his sister Megan went missing while on a hiking trip. So basically the whole point of this movie is Martin trying to kind of follow in her footsteps and figure out what happened to her because she disappeared during this town's annual festival known as the Droving, which, like I said, is kind of like a little bit of a Wicker Man situation, I guess, where everybody puts like animal masks on and they're gonna, you know, doing parades and starting fires and stuff like that. Is she being bad?
I had to stop her.
What are you doing?
She's
back
gonna
there
tear off those fucking shipping envelopes.
She loves those shipping envelopes.
She's
man.
Mad because she's like, stop doing the fucking show. You know? She wants to wrestle. Look,
we were playing until you started recording. Yeah. Now you're talking to the light box again.
Yeah, stop talking to the light box.
Poor
Doesn't
Pookie.
Make any sense. She's trying to get me to wrestle.
You can wrestle with her if you want to.
You
want
to wrestle?
Because like I said, you didn't really watch this movie. So yeah. Oh my goodness. So basically this whole movie follows this guy as he's kind of like I said, following in his sister's footsteps, trying to find out what happened to her. So he kind of like goes, you know, he questions all the people that are in the hiking group that last saw the sister. And then he, you know, runs in with like these 3 guys with animal masks on who lead him to some other guy. And then that guy leads him on another. So it's kind of like that. Now, I'm going to say that I think I'm going to recommend this only to people who are into, you know, folk horror, but also were into maybe The Witch or The Ritual or something like that. Because I will say, even for me, this was a bit of a slow burner. Like I said, I wouldn't call it a horror movie and it's not listed as one. It's actually listed as a mystery, which is more what it is. There is some violence in it. There is a little bit of a supernatural element to it. But that doesn't really come into it until the end. There's like a little bit of a folkloric type of element about a guy that can supposedly like collect souls and like bring people back from the dead. Like if you collect souls for him and stuff. And this is apparently real, but they kind of leave it ambivalent as to ambiguous rather, like whether it's real or not. So as I said, this could just be a straight ahead. So basically the whole entire film is following Martin So it's not only a mystery, but it's also kind of a character study, because pretty much you're just following him throughout the whole thing. So most of the movie is just him going from place to place and talking to various people and getting information about where his sister disappeared to, what happened to her, like, what the fuck is going on. You don't really get to see the droving, like, the actual thing until the end. You know, the parades and everything. And like I said, the cinematography in this is really cool. The acting is good. The guy that played the old man was a little spotty, but like the guy in the main role, whose name, the actor's name is Daniel Oldroyd. This was directed by George Popoff, by the way, who I think he's done a couple other films, but I haven't seen them. But you know, the acting was generally very good. But like I said, this is a very low key, mystery. It's very dialogue heavy. There is some violence toward the end, like some kind of bloody type of shit and a little bit of supernatural type of stuff going on, but not real overtly horrific. You know what I mean? It's one of those ones where you really got, it's like a very quiet movie and you really have to like pay attention to like all the conversations and there's like a lot more, you know, depth going on. The one thing that I don't think, I'm not saying, I don't know if I didn't like it or not, but it's just like, I don't think I like the way they incorporated the flashbacks with him and his sister, like, into the story. I think that could have been done, like, in a slightly different way, because I think because they kind of started out with it, and then he had a beard, like, in the present time. For a second, I didn't realize that was the same dude. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, wait a minute, who are these people now? And I was just kind of like, and then I said, like, after a minute, like, it didn't take me that long to figure it out. But I'm not that dumb, hopefully. But it's just like I didn't recognize him for a second. So I was just kind of like, well, wait, what does this thing have to do with this other thing? But then I was just like, oh, okay, I get it. This is like a flashback. So like I said, I don't know if I would have done it precisely that way. There wasn't really any big kind of like, and now I'm going to think about the past and here we go. So they didn't have like any, there was just like another scene of them and then suddenly there was a flashback. And so, you know, so I don't know if I would have integrated it quite in that way. Overall, you know, it was a pretty good movie. It was, like I said, it's very slow and it was, very much just kind of dialogue and landscape. And there were like some scenes that were just like really, really just long conversations, you know, or long like hikes of like people going through this, like, you know, beautiful landscapes and stuff like that. So, I mean, if that sounds like something that you'd be into, then you'd probably like it. But if you want something like super action packed or like super horrific or gory or anything like that, this is definitely not going to be your thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to shit on the movie. It didn't pull me in, but it's not because of not because it's a bad movie or anything. It was
beautifully shot. It was shot
competently.
I mean,
the acting was good. The storytelling is good for what it is, you know, for that genre of movie. The reason why I didn't like it, it's not my kind of movie.
Yeah, it's just not Tom's kind of movie. I suspected that it wasn't, like, as soon as it started.
my tastes are very American. I like spectacle, a lot of fucking explosions, humor, shit that pulls you in, lots of action early. You know, something that a kid would like. That's what I like.
Yeah, so this is not that. This is a very, like I said, this is a very slow, a very intimate movie. It pretty much starts out, like, with just conversation and just kind of a slow pace. So, which I think is good that they front-loaded it like that, so you know what you're getting into. If you know you don't like that kind of thing, then probably after 5 minutes, you're going to be like, fuck this, you're going to turn it off.
That's what I did.
You know what I mean? And like, yeah, so Tom checked out like in the first 5 or 10 minutes, because he's just like, he could see the writing on the wall. He could see where
I got a rule. If I'm not in there in the first 5 or 10 minutes, I'll never get in it.
Yeah.
And it's fucking consistent. That rule is,
like I said, I can see why you wouldn't. Victor asked, is it a new movie or an old movie? It's new. It actually, I've seen reviews of it. I think it just came out in 2020. I've seen reviews of it from April, so maybe it came out around then. I think it's on Amazon Prime, but I saw it on Tubi for free. So if you want to watch it on Tubi, you can do that. Like I said, I'm not going to recommend it across the board, but if you liked stuff like The Witch or The Ritual, or what is that fucking movie? I saw it like a few years ago. It was an Irish movie and it was about a guy and he was like a tree surgeon and he was out in this like kind of remote, and he was like out in this remote shit, like trying to, they were going to like tear some of the forest down or something. And he was like trying to like monitor the trees. And then there was like, it was set in Ireland and it was like Ireland. There was like fairies and it was like changelings and stuff. It was a pretty good movie, but it was also a folk horror. I don't know if you saw it. I might have watched it by myself, like on Hulu or Shudder.
The thing is about some of the folk horror stuff, like Midsommar, I watched it all the way through it. I enjoyed it.
Which is weird because
I wouldn't like that kind of stuff.
When we were in the theater, I was like, oh my God, Tom's going to hate this. I was surprised when you said you liked it.
The deal with that one is that it was the edit was very good. It was consistently getting weirder, and they were showing me stuff, and it was getting fucking weirder, and I was going, oh, some bad shit happening here. So it pulled me into it.
Yeah.
This one didn't pull me into it.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm not going to say it's the fault of the movie. Maybe I think it's more of the edit.
That needs patience.
And it's right, and it's the kind of the content, the story content of the movie, I guess it takes longer, and it's just not my kind of story.
Commander Sani Sito says, is it the Hallow? Yes, that is it. I couldn't remember the name of the one that I was talking about with the changelings and stuff. DK also said he recommended Hex, that also has the same actor in it. Yeah, that's the same production company. I don't know if it's the same director or not, but I've heard that that's good. It's set during the English Civil War, but I haven't seen that one yet. But yeah, that's kind of along the same lines as this.
Yeah.
And Mango Badger, I was just going to mention this. Also check out A Field in England. That is also very good. If you want to watch that, that might be on Tubi or Shudder or both. I'm not real sure. I watched it for the first time not too long ago, and I really, really liked it. It's pretty weird. I don't know if you would like it.
See, all this shit started. Oh, this whole genre kind of started it for me with The Wicker Man. And that's the kind of
blood on Satan's claw.
That's kind of like the foundation of these kind of movies for me. I always compare it to that. Midsommar, I thought, compared favorably to the original.
It had a lot of the same vibe.
Now the remake of the Wicker
Man, weird daylight horror kind of shit.
The remake of the fucking Wicker Man fucking sucked, but the original
was
really good.
Like,
especially for the
funny,
time,
but not intentionally.
Yeah, more better for the time, and I thought Midsommar was a good fucking update to that. If you guys haven't seen that, if you liked The Wicker Man and you liked it, see Midsommar. Midsommar's fucking weird. It's about
one of the best things about Midsommar, other than it being like set in the day and still being creepy as shit, which is really hard to do.
Creepy ass white people. That's the
fucking
whole thing.
Yeah, but like I really liked that they almost kind of like there was like the violence was very restrained, but when you saw it was like really nasty. Like those fucking old people like jumping off the cliff. It's God, that was gross.
that fucking type of what'd you call it? What's that genre again? The what horror? The fucking
folk
horror.
Folk horror, yeah.
I guess that's a way to put it because it kind of goes with some of that post-industrial folk gothic music, you know, like Current 93 and fucking, you know, Death in June and stuff, you know, where it's fucking kind of Germanic and Norse and old pagan shit. The deal with that movie, the attraction of those movies is that they're kind of like, it's white people being ancient, weird-ass fucking white people. That's what it's about, okay? It's the
white... Whitey's gonna white.
Yeah, it's Whitey whiting his ass off, and it's fucking... It's the white version of a fucking voodoo movie. That's what it is.
Or, like, the white version of, like, a Wendigo movie. Or Weenigo, I guess.
That is white, though.
I'm talking about white European.
I'm talking about black people, okay? Fucking, these movies are kind of like the white version of fucking voodoo movies and Haitian voodoo and zombie type movies, what it is. It's black people with witchcraft and white people with witchcraft. That's the difference. But it's that same concept. You know what I mean? You're scaring the shit out of white people by, look at this. You know what I mean?
Look at what your
look
ancestors
at what you guys
got up
used to.
To
do.
Look at what people are still doing.
They would fucking tie people up, fucking put them in a house and set it on fire along with the animals. Because that's what nature wants. That's what God wants. Just weird concepts like that. It's time that we all have group sex. Weird shit like that. Wait, what? Yeah, outside. Outside.
Goddess says that's
with
what we
the
have
old
to do.
Ladies. Old women having sex with you outside. Because.
With
you know,
the swords, like symbolically
yeah,
like cutting
what
the heads
fuck
off.
What's going on?
And so, there is, I don't know what it is, but there is something very unsettling about people wearing animal heads. Not like in a, you know, oh, furries, because I know everybody's going to say that, but it's like, that's not really unsettling. But shit like, I mean, if you guys have ever seen the silent movie, Hexan, the Swedish one, very famous, It has like a scene in it where, and this was made in like fucking 1919 or 1920 or something, like some, you know, like a century ago. And there's a scene in it where there's like a, like the door of a castle, and there's like a person on either side, like with a person like wearing an animal head, and it's still fucking creepy. I don't know why. It's just there's something really creepy about. And I have to say too that in this particular movie, The Droving, there's not, like I said, I think I would have liked a little bit more of the droving in it, like a little bit more of the celebration, a little bit more of the masks and stuff. One of the scenes early on with like these three thugs that have like their droving costumes on, the costumes are like really cool, especially the one that looks kind of like a Malamute or like a Husky or something. It's like a little unsettling. And then they had one that was like a blackbird, and I can't remember what the other one was. Yeah. But it would have been cool if they'd done like a little bit more with that, because I feel like this, you know, it's about a cult, and it's about like an occult ritual, but it's mostly just about this one guy and what happened to the sister. And then there was just like, and it wasn't even really ended up being like, spoiler alert, it didn't even end up really being about a cult or anything. It was just like this one guy and a legend that actually turned out to possibly be true, and why, and so he kind of went off the beat. So it was just like one dude, really.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I just trip out on this Scandinavian concept of fucking killing people so shit grows. It's just, you know, that's some weird shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird when you think about it, because I guess I can see where that idea comes from.
The Aztecs kind of had it.
If you don't know anything about
how things work,
like how things work in reality, like science or anything, and you're just kind of like working off what you can see, like in front of your face.
Yeah.
I can see people coming to that conclusion.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Aztecs were sacrificing children so the parents would cry, and crying would make the gods cry, so therefore it would cause it to rain.
See, that so it kind of makes total sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
then,
in a way that doesn't, but I mean, you know what I mean? It's,
and then imagine you got to go out and do that. Sorry, we got to fucking kill your children so it rains.
I mean, there had to be, like, some people had to feel bad about it.
Yeah, they did, but they thought they had to keep,
they
had to do it to keep the shit running. Fucking, I read the stuff that fucking Hernan Cortez and the guys that were with him tried to explain to him that they didn't have to do it, and they just couldn't, they couldn't.
They're just like, yeah, we do.
They couldn't believe it. That the world wouldn't fall apart if they weren't doing it. And, you know, they kept going back to it. And some of the friars and the conquistadors would jump on them and kill people for sacrificing their children. And sometimes they were fucking mutilating them for doing it. They were using corporal punishment and sometimes, you know, capital punishment to keep people from stop sacrificing other people. It took generations.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Well, that's the thing. If you get an idea so ingrained in your head and in your culture, and it's reinforced every day, because that's you don't really like run into any outsiders, quote unquote, that like...
I got Connell Vaslan in there, you know, that's my fucking boy from Mexico. And, you know, so I'm partially bringing that up to him. He knows about it too. Me and him are into that Mesoamerican stuff. And what was weird is that Hernan's take on it was very modern. He was saying, and Hernan was trying to explain to a lot of the Mesoamericans that these religions were put in by the ruling class to keep control of them, and that it was just a way of giving a religious authority to the ruling class to select who would be sacrificed, and they could control an entire tribe because that king of that tribe was afraid that his daughter or his son would come up next for sacrifice. So if you disobeyed, you know what I mean?
That's pretty insightful for Cortez
Cortez
figured that out.
Considering. Basically, what Cortez is describing, a totalitarian system, a totalitarian theocracy, and he was using that concept before those terms had been coined.
Yeah.
Which, hey man, fucking say what you want about Cortez, man, fucking, that dude got that job done.
He was no dummy.
He was no fucking dummy. No dummy, and probably one of the. And he was a mercenary. That was the thing. He was a mercenary soldier, probably one of the greatest mercenaries in all of human history. And got cheated out of his fucking claim, too. But that's another story.
Kind of Atlan also says Apocalypto is a good movie.
Yeah, that, yeah.
It is.
That's a very
it's
good
a fantastic
movie,
movie actually.
Yeah. Apocalypto is kind of like...
We own that, don't we?
No, maybe I do own that. If not, I gotta get it. If not, I gotta get it. Apocalypto is the Mexican version of one of these folk movies. That we had.
Yeah, I
basically
guess
is what it is. That's what it is.
It's weird. I would have thought that, I mean, maybe there have been more recently, but I would have thought that there would be, folk horror, I feel like, should be a larger genre. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody, every time somebody thinks, talks about folk horror, it's like the first one you think of, your go-to is Wicker Man. Obviously, there was also Blood on Satan's Claw, like I said, from, that was also a British movie. And then, you know, as I said, there have been a few, like, over the past few years. You had Midsummer, you had The Hallow, which was Irish. They come up every now and then, but I just, The Ritual, I guess, was kind of one like that. I feel like it's such a creepy, I've always been creeped out by, like, folk horror, and it just surprises me that it's not a bigger subgenre. I wonder why that is. Maybe other people aren't creeped out by it as much as I am. Khan's
going on about how fucking Cortez was hooking up with La Malinche, I think her name was. That was his little Mesoamerican princess. She was having his children, though, too, and evidently she was with him for life. You know, that was a true relationship, I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah, they stayed together forever. So in a way, in a lot of ways, Cortez's children were the first modern Mexicans, really.
Yeah.
Which were, you know, there's a lot of Spanish blood going on, especially if you start getting towards Mexico City. But that's just, you know, that's how history played out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commander Sanicito says, Population 436 sounds like a movie you folks might like. Have you seen it? I have not seen it yet. I have a humongous list of movies I have to see that's as long as my arm. New ones, old ones, all kind of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, if it sounds like something I might like, then I will definitely check it out. In fact, I'm going to write it down right now, which reminds me, I told you to remind me and you didn't. What? That I need to do shout-outs.
Oh, we got to do the shout-outs. We've gotten some gifts from the people. I forgot to do them
yesterday, and, like, some people have sent us things, and I forgot to say about it yesterday.
We got gifts from the people.
We got gifts from the people.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to give a thank you to Michael, who has sent, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Who sent us the Steelbook.
Yes.
Friday the 13th, special edition.
Steelbook special edition, 40th anniversary. Thank you very much. Blu-ray.
I love it. Look at this. I love this.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I love that so much. And also, I wanted to thank, these were from Dominic, yeah? We got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
That's a remake. That's supposed to be good. Jenny said it was good.
I actually really liked it. I saw it in the theater, and then I saw it again on cable, and I'm like, wow, that was like way better than I was expecting it to be. And Seven.
Yeah, remember that one? That was good.
What's in the box?
Yeah.
You have to do that every time you talk about Seven.
Yeah. Just, was that it? I thought there was
that's
more.
That's the rule. That was it. That was the one.
Oh, another thing is that the director from Cruel Peter thanked us for our review.
Yeah, I got a message from, like, he was either the director or the producer. I can't really remember. He had worked on Cruel Peter. And I guess, because remember we reviewed that, like, it was probably a couple months ago.
It's a good movie. It looked great.
I liked it. It was very, like, I love all that kinda old jolly. Gothic.
Yeah.
That old gothic horror. Creepy, like, in the little creepy old mansions and shit. Yeah. I love that shit.
Creepy characters.
Yeah. So, it was really good. So I thought it was really cool. He just sent me a brief message, like, thanking me for reviewing the movie and stuff. And I'm like, hey, man.
Right.
It was a good movie. So, good on you. All right. So, I guess that'll do it for our Wednesday look into
Bill and Ted soon. We'll watch it.
Yeah, because it's like, I saw it. It's for rent, but you still got to pay, like, $20.
It's like $20 to see it, yeah.
I don't know if I want to
pay Khan's down there and TJ getting the bootlegs. What are we talking about, man? It was free. I know what you're doing, dude. I know what you're doing.
You can get it, like, you know, on the from, like, some places. But yeah. I don't know. I've heard, like, most people seem to think it was pretty good. So, you know, and I like the first two.
Right. They want $25 to see that fucking
$25.
To see that shit. I think I'll wait until it comes down to maybe about
$8. Do you know how much vodka I can buy for $25?
Well, here's the deal. Why don't they give you the Blu-ray for that? That's what the Blu-ray would cost.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you can, I think on the Xbox, you can either buy it, like, you can buy the digital copy, or you can rent the digital copy. It seems dumb just, like, to have to pay the same amount.
You can buy a physical copy? I don't think so. I think you can buy the digital copy.
Well, I don't know if the physical copy is out yet.
I would want the physical. Bitches, for $25, I want a physical motherfucker.
Yeah, I
want
to hold it. I don't want you to be able to, like, take it away or decide I can't watch it.
I actually kind of want both. I want the digital and the Blu-ray, because usually they'll come with the digital copy. I never use them, but...
Yeah. I mean, speaking of movies that are... If you guys have wanted to see Color Out of Space, which we reviewed, Shudder just got it. It's on Shudder now. We actually bought the Blu-ray, did we not? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we bought the Blu-ray. Pre-ordered it when it came out, so we already have it. But, you know, if you don't have it, if you wanted to see it, then it's on Shudder if you have Shudder. And Shudder's only fucking $5 a month, so you need to get on that Shudder for $6 a month, however much it is.
You just can't beat Shudder.
And, I mean, I pay for it annually, so it's cheaper. I think it's only $59 a year, something like that. It's, like, super cheap.
Yeah,
and they added, Color Out of Space, Bram Stoker's Dracula, the one with Gary Oldman. And they also added The Vampire Lovers and one other old vampire one.
Lovers, that's Hammer, right?
I think it's Hammer, or it's Hammer adjacent, I can't remember.
Going to be plenty of cleavage in that one.
That's a good movie, actually.
Yeah.
I think, is that the one I'm thinking of? Did we fucking review that? That's the one that's about Countess Bathory, I thought.
Yeah, probably.
Either that or it's based on Carmilla. I get it confused. There's so many vampire movies that came out around that time. All right, so we're going to wrap this up. We will probably not live stream again tomorrow or Friday, as usual. We're going to live stream for the Saturday show, the regular episode, and the votes came in, so we have the topic. Should be a fun one, I think. I think it'll be a fun show. It's not a depressing show. I guess it kind of is, but you know. Our shows are always depressing. All right, so we'll talk to you guys again, and we'll see you on Saturday for yet another live stream. And thanks for dropping by. So, bye.